Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 137. The evidence of the Pancharatras cannot be neglected. Only untrained persons who have not generally studied the Pancharatras think that the Pancharatras contradict the Shrutis regarding the birth or beginning of the living entity. In this connection, we must accept the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says, quote, the absolute personality of Godhead, who is known as Vasudeva, and who is very affectionate towards his surrendered souls, expands himself in quadruple forms who are subordinate to him, and at the same time identical with him in all respects. End quote. The Paushkara Samhita states, quote, the scriptures that recommend that Brahmanas worship the quadruple forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Agamas, authorized Vedic literatures. End quote. In all Vaishnava literature, it is said that worshipping these quadruple forms is as good as worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who in his different expansions, complete in six opulences, can accept offerings from his devotees of the results of their prescribed duties. Worshipping the expansions for pastimes, such as Nrisimha, Rama, Sesha, and Kurma, promotes one to the worship of the Shankarshan quadruple. From that position, one is raised to the platform worshipping Vasudeva, the Supreme Brahman. In the Paushkara Samhita, it is said, if one fully worships according to the regular principles, one can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. End quote. It is to be accepted that Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Ariruddha are as good as Vasudeva, for they all have inconceivable power and can accept transcendental forms like Vasudeva. Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Ariruddha are never born, but they can manifest themselves in various incarnations before the eyes of pure devotees. This is the conclusion of all Vedic literature, that the Lord can manifest himself before his devotees by his inconceivable power is not against the teaching of the Pancharatras, since Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Ariruddha are, respectively, the predominating deities of all the living entities, the total mind and the total ego. Right. So here when we say the total mind, that would then include all the aspects of that, which would mean the false ego and all the work, intelligence and all the workings of that. And then the total false ego means then the adiatmic, adibhautic, and adidaivic, all those aspects. Right? So it's complete in that way. The designation of Shankarshan, Prajumna, and Ariruddha as jiva, mind, and ego are never contradicted to the statements of the scriptures. These terms identify these deities, just as the term sky and light sometimes identifies the absolute Brahman. Right? The scriptures, does that make sense?
Who's speaking
again? I don't know if this is Prabhupada's purport.
No. Who is speaking against? Who is saying that this is not...
Oh, we're still, I think, dealing with the...
The Shaktas.
Shaktas and the... What do you call it? The Shaivites and, you know, anybody else who's not devotees.
And they claim that Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Ariruddha are?
There's something less because if... Shankaracharya has made the point that if... Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Ariruddha have expanded from Vasudeva, that means they have a beginning. Because they have a beginning, then they're not eternal. So they can't be on the same platform. So when it says that they have a beginning and they're so they're not eternal and they're the same as Vasudeva, therefore then he tries to throw out all four. Rather than it says, no, Vasudeva doesn't have any of these problems, So then if he does have problems, he may have with those three. But then, you know, he just uses it, this is that, that. So therefore, then throw out the whole thing. Because they're trying to get rid of the personal worship. Because then you can just absorb yourself in Brahman. Well, if you have personal worship, then somehow or another, then they have to get a new job. Right? Like that. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, like Acharya is known to have said that Narayana is God, no?
Yes. So he's not in the first point putting that, but it's just that his business is to distract the minds of the atheists.
Yes.
So then by bringing them to the Vedas, then you have something to argue with. Because otherwise, if they're outside the Vedas, then what do you have to argue with? There's no authority. Then it just comes down to their sentiment, and then in their mind, our sentiment. Like sometimes you see the arguments made, well, that's, you know, we're still quoting Shastra and saying, no, this is not correct, you know, about this other philosophy.
Yes.
And they'll just go, well, that's just your, you know, opinion. You're just an alternative.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we are one, you know, way of looking at it. You're another way of looking at it, rather than, no, this is the absolute truth.
Yes. Yes.
So when you have those who follow the Vedas, they'll never go against the Vedas.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you see in these, some of these lower of the six schools, they may take their authority over certain statements of the Vedas. But ultimately, it has to be based in the Veda.
Yes.
But it's just they don't accept all things from the Veda.
Mm-hmm.
So the six schools tend to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why unless they're devotees, they can't understand, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. The scriptures completely deny the birth or production of the living entity. In the Paramasamhita, it is described that material nature, which is used for other purposes, is factually inert and always subject to transformation. Right? So, because you have to get rid of this point, because this point being here is that if it's, means you have a few aspects. One, if the souls never take birth, there's no, you know, they're always eternal. Then why would, and there you see manifesting, unmanifesting, and taking birth here and this and that. But they themselves are eternal. Then why wouldn't the Chaturvyuha be? Since they are the source,
yes.
Right? And then the other aspect is that for those who then look at it, then the conclusion would go the other way, is that if they take birth, that's a temporary thing, so that means they have to come from material energy, which is temporary. Right? So then they'll connect everything here. So the whole creation, everything's happening connected to a transformation of the material energy. Well, no, it's an expansion of the Supreme Lord. So then the material energy is you know, inert. So anything that it does and appears to do is because of the Lord. Right? He's entered it. He's empowered it. That's why it's working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like your toaster is inert.
Mm-hmm.
But when you plug it into the current, then now it does something. Is that what I'm saying? So everything from material energy is like that. It's inert, but because of being empowered by the Lord's potencies, therefore it appears to act in so many variety of ways. But otherwise it doesn't really do anything. You know, it's like, you know, you see the mountain, you know, 300 million years ago, then 200 million years ago. It's the same. Nothing happens. You know, you don't see like a little smile coming up. No, it's just nothing. The field of material nature is the arena of the activities of fruitive actors. And since the material field is externally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is also eternal. But the field, the principles it's on, the transformation will be there, but the principles on which the material energy is functioning is eternal, and the material energy itself is eternal. But its manifestation and its transformations, that's constantly going on. That's not. Right? So if you take that as eternal, that's where our problem comes in. So that's where the Bhagavatam will say that the material world is false, because it's always changing. But it does exist. You know? Does that make sense? It's not. It's just like, let's say there's a false rumor, right? It's false, but does the rumor exist? It does.
It certainly does.
Right? Yeah. And if you're not sure, turn around, look at the back of your cloth, and see if there's a big bite mark there. And if there is, then you know it's there. Yes.
So the impersonalist says that it doesn't actually exist.
No.
And the materialist tries to make the temporary forms eternal.
Yes.
By their control.
Yeah. So the qualities that are there of the Lord of the living entity and the material nature, they all get mixed up.
Yeah.
The soul takes on material qualities, the material world takes on God's qualities, or sometimes in some aspects the soul takes on God's qualities.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow or another, in all these philosophy, God never has God's qualities. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you have a competition with God, then, you know, the natural thing is get rid of the competition.
Yeah.
And so then that means, you know, either material nature is God, okay, you can accept that because it's bigger than you, or you're God, you know.
Works.
Yeah. Or you can even both be God. Hey. You know. You know. Buddies.
Yeah.
Like that. One. It's a conference. It was quite a while ago. I think in the 90s. I'm not sure how often they have it, or if it's a regular thing, or it was just something that was pulled off as a, who knows what, a publicity stunt or something. I don't know. So they had all the different religious groups in India all together. Right? And then they had, you know, also all the Shankaracharyas, all the Buddhists, all the, you know, everybody was there. And at one point in the meeting, then the Shankaracharya of the Jyotirmath, which is the northern one. No, I think it was the Sringeri, you know, which is considered to be like the lead one. And then they were at some point after a meeting or something, you know, when they're going to lunch then Shankaracharya, along with the head of whoever was the Buddhist guy, it was the Dalai Lama, they were walking out, you know, with the, you know, arms around each other's shoulders and all, that's the buddies and all that, you know, even though they've been at each other's throat for the last 1,000 years. But, you know, so it was something to try to, you know, so like that, everybody's, you know, you and the material nature, you're God, they're God, you're all God, you know, it's good.
But the whole thing about we're all God, you're God, I'm God, I mean, when I seriously think about I'm God, I didn't create this and I'm going to die, so how can I be God?
Yeah, no, that's the whole point. Not only that, is you can't even work out in between, you know, like that. Because if you were a God, you know, when you're in the kitchen and in a rush and you were doing something and you drop that bowl, you know, one, you wouldn't have dropped the bowl, and even if you did, then you could, you know, you could do something about it. But no, it's the bowl does something about your kitchen, right? You know, splatters off, just perfectly hits, you know. There's this way, like if you drop a pot of dal or something, it'll always it won't fall straight and just go boonk on the floor or hit side. It'll always come and hit right on the edge. So that the thing will splash, you get this wave, and you just go all over everything. It's just somehow or another always works like that. You know, just perfectly.
We should study that.
Yes. So that's as the principle of why we're not God, right? Because otherwise, why can't we control us? You know, who is in control of the doll?
The principle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's absurd for anybody who logically thinks about it. But because there's attachment, then we'll make things work. You know, it's just like if you're attached to an idea, you know it's bad, but you still think, well, but maybe, you know? If all the stars lined up, and this and that, and there, you know, at rush hour there was absolutely no traffic, and this and that, and, you know, so many things, you know, all the lights were green, and, you know, like that, then you could maybe get to the airport in time. But you can't, so. You know, but...
Jamal Pushtamaraj, he calculated, not him, but they calculated on his route in Cambridge, from his place to the lecture hall. They calculated when the lights would be green. And then he would always leave at the particular time and then go, all the lights would be green. And then once, one junction, the light wasn't green. So he called and complained. He said it was supposed to be green, according to
he called. He called the municipality.
There was something wrong, and they said, yes.
And he's probably the only guy in history that's ever called. And
that that must have been a weird phone call on the other end. Like, well, yes.
How did you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you? Everyone asks that. Yes, yes. Are you God? Well, they do say Shakshat Harito. Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose that's why we're here. I mean, we want to be God.
Yeah.
We invent all these reasons about why you're God, I'm God.
We're together. Because maybe we would just be God ourselves, but then others might get upset. So that way, then I'm God, you're God, we're all God. You know, that just makes it work.
You know, there may be something where I'm the better God than you.
Yeah, that of course. Of course. But if you could get away with just you being God and no one else, then we'd do it. But since somehow or another socially it's not that acceptable, therefore then, you know. Yeah, what was it?
So it's
Animal Farm, right? All animals are equal, just some are more equal than others.
That's a brilliant quote.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was an interview with this, like a live session with this Deepak Chopra guy, and so a Christian guy gets up in the audience and says, I have a question for you. So you're saying that all beliefs are illusion, and Deepak Chopra, yes. And so yes, and you firmly believe that, yes. Oh,
and that was it.
That was it, because he just yes, destroyed his own philosophy.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Because that was his belief.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
you firmly believe that.
Yes.
Okay. Right? So then, it's not. Okay, so he didn't make any further points.
So by your own account, what you're saying is illusion. Right? He's saying, Deepak Chopra says, all beliefs are illusion.
Yeah, but did he say yes?
Yeah. He just answered, like, without thinking, yes, I firmly believe.
And then
it dawned on him. Because the Christian guy just said, thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I
was like,
oh.
Yeah.
So do any of the other religions or any of the other Hindu things, is anyone else offering personalism? I mean, the Vaishnavas.
It's inherent in the living entity, so that aspect is there, then many don't mind it, but they'll consider it a lower stage. But once you get to the more advanced stages, then you move beyond such childish.
But Christianity's not
personal. They're both personal and impersonal. They're personal as long as you don't get too particular. If you get too much detail, then it's impersonal. But otherwise, their faith is these personal. So you there's no problem if you talk the straight personal philosophy. They're comfortable with that. Just don't get into too much detail, at least not on their side. Like that, you know.
And the Muslim thing is impersonal?
No, same. Same. It's all any of the Abrahamic. They're all personal, but at the same time, ultimately impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
they don't think that far though. But that's but they do that. It's their unique contribution. The field of material nature is the arena of activities of fruitive actors. And since the material field is externally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is also eternal. In every Samhita, the Jiva, living entity, has been accepted as eternal. And in the Pancharatras, the birth of the Jiva is completely denied. Anything that is produced must be annihilated. Therefore, if we accept the birth of the living entity, we also have to accept his annihilation. But since the Vedic scriptures say that the living entity is eternal, one should not think that the living being to be produced at a certain time. In the beginning of the Parama Samhita, it is definitely stated that the face of material nature is constantly changeable. Therefore, beginning, annihilation, all such terms are applicable only in the material nature. Considering all these points, right? So just like we were discussing, the jiva may enter the body, which is dead matter, but Bhakai, the life force that Krishna is giving into the body, it works, the prana. And then when the living entity leaves, that prana also goes, so the body now is just, again, functioning like material nature, meaning doing nothing. Right? So But the soul remains unchanged throughout the whole time. Right? Mm-hmm. The soul is not affected by this change of bodies.
So, with this lifetime, I've got this sort of personality, another lifetime, a different personality.
Right, right.
That's irrelevant to the soul.
Yes, it's irrelevant. It's just where the consciousness happens to be today.
And then, as a soul,
you know, it's like fashion. It's what's happening today.
Okay.
You know, just that today happens to go for a whole lifetime.
Yeah. But back in the spiritual world, do we have personality?
Yeah, of course.
But not our material personality.
No, because that keeps changing. You know, we have our original personality.
Okay.
Like that, the servant of Krishna, that's all. Yeah. So we have. Just covered a bit. Since the Vedic literatures say that the living entity is internal, one should not think that living entity to be produced at a certain time. Okay, we did that. Considering all these points, one consider that Shankaracharya's statement that Shankarshan is born as a jiva is completely against the Vedic statements. His assertions are completely refuted by the above arguments. In this connection, the commentary of Sridhar Swami on Srimad Bhagavatam. Is very helpful. For a detailed refutation of Shankaracharya's arguments attempting to prove Sankarshan an ordinary living being, one may refer to Srimad Sudarshan Acharya's commentary on the Sribhasya, which is known as the Shruta Prakashika. The original quadruple forms, Krishna, Baladev, Prajumna, and Aniruddha, expand into another quadruple, which is present in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky. Therefore, the quadruple forms in the spiritual sky are the second manifestation of the original quadruple in Dwarka. As explained above, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha are all changeless, transcendental plenary expansions of the Supreme Lord, who have no relation to the material modes. Oh, that was you that just came with the bicycle?
No.
That was the worker. Oh, okay. So I thought it was a worker, and then he walks in. I thought, oh, okay. As explained above, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha are all changeless, transcendental plenary expansions of the Supreme Lord, who have no relation to the material modes. The Sankarshan form in the second quadruple is not only a representation of Balaram, but also the original cause of the causal ocean, where Karanadakshai Vishnu lies asleep, breathing out the seeds of innumerable universes.
Right. It says we're changeless. It means according to the material points.
What's to change? What means when you ask about changeless, what do you mean? It means that they just stand there like they're frozen or something. He's changing.
No, like they can't.
You know, these aren't the guys in, what do you call it? You know, in London that stand there like a statue and no. They move.
You have to pay them.
Huh?
You have to pay them.
You have to pay them to move.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the way it is with everybody, right?
Pretty much, you don't pay them, they don't work. It's
right?
Not that special.
Yeah. Maybe you should come up to the one guy. You know, okay, I put money here that you move, which I'll do. You know, but that means that you're moving only when I pay you. But all these guys are walking around.
Yeah,
they got the
free
money to pay you. They're walking for free. That means no work. Yeah.
I got some stuff I need done in my garden. Can you do something worthwhile?
They don't change their personality. That's the
point. No, never. Because that's the Krishna and Balaram and Vasudeva, Parjumna, Aniruddha and Dwarka, then they always are in that mood. Then when they expand and into Vaikuntha, then they have that mood. And when you see the same, from same Shankarshan, then you get the Mahavishnu, Karanadakshai Vishnu, then they always have that same mood.
So can we say in this same point that the soul is also changeless in
yes.
this regard? Because whenever it's uncovered, then it's not going to change.
No. It's just that when you cover something, you know, like you take this, you know, banana, okay, you can cover it with mud, you can cover it with all kinds of things. Right? But it's still inside's a banana. So that's the soul gets covered by that false identity. And so because of that, then comes the gross and subtle bodies and, you know, the changing of that. So because they identify with material nature, because material nature is temporary, that's why the change. Right, so that's the things to see that is what's happening, what's material nature. Right? Because the eternal aspect, then you should see the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, because that's why it is, because there's that energy, but the nature of material energy is to change. In the spiritual sky, there's a spiritual creative energy, technically called Shuddha Sattva, which is a pure spiritual energy that sustains all the Vaikuntha planets with the full opulences of knowledge, wealth, prowess, etc. All these actions of Shuddha Sattva display the potencies of Mahashankarshan, who is the ultimate reservoir of all individual living entities who are suffering in the material world. Did you catch that?
No, I spaced.
Okay, we'll rhyme back. Sorry, I can't do them. Yeah. All these actions of Shuddha Sattva display the potencies of Mahashankarshan, who is the ultimate reservoir of all individual living entities who are suffering in the material world.
Yeah.
So does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Because there's always the no, but where? Here it says right here.
What was the question?
You didn't know the question. You don't know the question.
Now we have reversal, I mean, like a few weeks back.
Oh.
No, I mean, I got it because it was my question.
Yes, that was the point. The others didn't get it.
So Mahasankarshan and Mahavishnu are one and the same. Can you see that?
No, Mahasankarshan, yes, you can, but Mahasankarshan is, how you say, Karanadakshay Vishnu, he's the first expansion from Mahasankarshan in this direction, in the material world. Mm-hmm. No, that's not the question. You don't know the question.
I'm excited.
Question is, as always, that comes up is that jivas are expanding from Mahashankarshan or from Balaram or from
from the spiritual
All this kind of stuff like that. Yeah. So here Prabhupada says right here, there are all the, he's the ultimate reservoir of all individual living entities. Mm-hmm. Right? So then if we're saying, you know, from Karanadakshay Vishnu, because Karanadakshay Vishnu is from Mahashankarshan. Right? So what he's meaning is Krishna, Balaram, and what do you call it? Prajumna, Adiruddha, and Dwarka, they're the original Chaturvyuha. Then you have expansions from Shankarshan into Vaikuntha, where then you see the manifestations, and that keeps going. Or the expansion into the material world is Karanadakshay Vishnu, and then you get Prajumna and Adiruddha. Right? As Garbhadakshay Vishnu and Kiradakshay. So he's the original. Does that make sense?
Pretty cool system.
Yeah. Yeah. So it works. Yeah. So it says here, that's the ultimate reservoir.
Yeah.
Well, the term reservoir usually means that all the living entities go into him at the time.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It's just like your water is coming out of a reservoir. It's not that after you finish it goes bad. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So why make that conclusion? The point is that he is the source. That's why he's called Jiva, because all the living entities expand from him. You know what I'm saying? So, it's saying here, specifically, those who are in the material world, the living entities suffering in the material world. Doesn't mean all the living entities who are here, the ones who are suffering. So the ones that come from the spiritual world, they don't necessarily count in this category. But the ones that are here, you know, as a, how you say? What do you call it? You know, where you give that unlimited facility for someone to stay, you know? Yeah, like that, you know. We're here in the material world. We can stay as long as we like. Right? You know, others, they'll come down here, preach, and go back. Right? You know, like that. So.
Maharaj, Mahavishnu is the Sankarshan. Garbhadakshay Vishnu is Pradyumna. Shuddhadakshay Vishnu is Aniruddha.
Yes.
Vasudev is manifested in this material world. All quadruple is...
Means all the pastimes and all that. The Leela avatars and stuff.
There it is.
Yeah. When the cause of creation is annihilated, the living entities who are indestructible by nature rest in the body of Mahasankarshan. Sankarshan is therefore sometimes called the total jiva. As spiritual sparks, the living entities have the tendency to be inactive in the association of material energy. Just as sparks of a fire have the tendency to be extinguished as soon as they leave the fire, the spiritual nature of the living entity can be rekindled, however, in association with the Supreme Being, because the living being can appear either in matter or in spirit. The jiva is called the marginal potency, right? Because those of the internal potency, they will never have a material body, right? They only appear in the spiritual. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But the jiva, they can appear in either. That's why they're called marginal. Mm-hmm. Sankarshan is the origin of Karna Vishnu, who is the original form who creates the universes. Mm-hmm. And that Sankarshan is but a plenary expansion of Sri Nityananda Ram. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ayurveda 541. Oh, okay, so that one, that is. Conclusion to Pada 2. The focal thing of dispute entitled Brahman, cause of creation, between the opponents and the exponents in the second Pada, is an extension from the first Pada. Srila Vyasadeva embarks on the mission of confusing the foremost of atheistic and theistic schools. Oh, confuting. They're already confused. Okay. Promoting their spurious simulated philosophies in addition to the future, contemporary self-titled schools, which are nonetheless a combination or a direct derivative of the above schools. The Shankyites' claim of declaring Pradhan cause of creation is disproved owing to the absence of a conscious regulator, and Pradhan having no specific goal to achieve in creation. Defeat of Shankya thereby implies defeat of Vaisheshika, since the Shankyites adhere to the Pradhan, macroscopic level, whereas the Vaisheshikas adhere to particles, microscopic level. Hence, there is a commonality in the subject itself through the representation of Tattva as individual, and to some degrees unique to each, as the schools overly focus and overemphasize on a specific aspect important to them. Mm-hmm. The Buddhist philosophy of causation from internal and external objects is overthrown by the Sutrakar for similar reasons as above, that is, the absence of a conscious entity to bring about the combination to create the animate world. Also, the claim of causation from cognition is refuted on the grounds of momentariness. Their claim of causation from voidness is easily refuted because all their means are unreal. Right? So even they have a philosophy, according to their philosophy, it's all unreal, so then what's the point of even discussing it? You know, it's like Mr. Chopra.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, it's just... Next, the Jain, because means if it's coming from being conscious, that's why it's there. Then that means when you go to sleep, everything would disappear, you know. But somehow or another, you know, others in the house, you know, don't seem to find that.
They don't agree.
Yeah, yeah. It means, you know, the kids are in the next room, you know, on the Wi-Fi and that, and then you go to sleep and then it all disappears and they go, oh. Yeah, Dad went to sleep again.
Asleep again.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Your turn to go wake Dad.
Yeah. Next, the Jain's theory of causation from uncertainty is defeated on the grounds that contrary qualities cannot reside in a single object. Also, since everything is uncertain, overall it's a confused theory. The theistic school of Pashupatas, claiming formless Shiva, cause of creation, is refuted on the grounds that formless God has no connection with the created world. Finally, the Shakta's doctrine of Durga, cause of creation, is defeated on the grounds that Shakti can create only when injected by the Purusha. Hence, the Sutrakar establishes the position of Brahman individually and collectively on his visit to all the above-mentioned schools of thought. Even if the opponents went astray, Srila Vyasadeva is accountable to his aim to bring the discussion back to Brahman, as in line with the Vedantic conclusion. Thus, in a nutshell, the Sutrakar and Pada 2, refuting all the confronting views, claiming either gross or subtle matter as the absolute cause, establishes Brahman as the cause of creation, hence the Pada's title, Astika Nastika Virodha Parihara, defeat of theistic and atheistic opposition is benefited. Okay, then, okay, so now on. We don't just see chapter 2, part of 3.